it's funny because I have people who respond back to me, oh, thank you so much for commenting or saying something. And I just think, of course I'm going to. If I see it, I'm all in there. I'm all about like you say, supporting people who are being creative and doing their own thing. And yeah, why not?
Yeah, it seems like such a, like, you think common sense, like, oh yeah, like, of course, if I see something that relates to like my line of work, I'm going to say something on it. But a lot of celebrities don't. Like, they kind of like to keep that distance between people that like their art form.
Well, I got hate on that comment.
What?
I got hate on that comment.
Why?
Like, who cares? What was the comment? Like, who cares what you think?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Woo-hoo. We are riding down the River Rapids today. I have so much energy, so I'm going to toss it on over to my producer, Cosmo from The Cosmo Show.
What's up?
Do you have so much energy today, too?
Yes. I think it's that one, that weird coffee thingamajigger that I had just earlier.
It's hitting.
It's crazy.
Where did we get that from? It was a LACC, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and they were handing them out like candy. Yeah. And now all of us are like, we have so much energy now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Riding down the rapids.
Everything good? Rock and roll?
Yeah, I'd say so. I've been like very excited for this episode for like way too long. And I've been like secretly telling people, like, I don't think you understand like how cool our show is and how cool some of our guests are.
Right.
But maybe today they finally will get to see how cool really we are.
Right.
You know?
Oh my God. This is absolutely an honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've been watching a bunch of our episodes, we actually did a whole Fourth Wing episode. And one of the voices we talk about is Segail. We've talked about this voice for a long time.
Yeah.
And we were so lucky enough to today have Stephanie Parker joining us.
Woohoo!
We are so excited that you're here.
I'm excited to be here.
I don't know how you even got here, but I'm just delighted. Like, I don't know how we made this happen.
Seriously. Living in Switzerland and then suddenly just happening to be here. And then you reached out. I was like, absolutely. Let's do this for sure.
It was like the stars aligned.
Yeah.
And we were just geeking out because I think we had just finished our Fourth Wing episode, because you had told me to read the book.
Yes. Well, so yeah, the book is awesome, but like, I'm a sucker for like full audio drama. Like, give me some characters, give me some voices. You know, like, yeah, I have an imagination. I don't need the book. You know, I just want to hear it. And when I got into the first book, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I told you about it, and I think we were like on the same halfway, like the second book, I think.
Well, you told me about it before I'd even...
That's right.
You were like, you've got to read this book. You'll love it. And I was like, okay, I'm a dyslexic. Reading is not my forte, but sure. And then you introduced me to the audiobook. So I was like, you were like, no, as a other dyslexic,
yes,
this is where it's at.
And
I got sucked in.
Yeah, I haven't finished Onyx yet.
I know, me either.
I know. I just don't want it to end. I don't even want it to go on. I'm like, where it's at right now, I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I finished Iron Flame and I'm like, nah! Like, I don't know what to do. So I'm just kind of like, I don't want to read the next one yet because I'm nervous.
I just want to say the main character is a badass. I'm sorry.
There's not a non-badass character.
Seriously, yeah. There's not, but it's like the struggles that she goes through and like her conditions and like just the trials and tribulations and the secretive and her mom and then what she wanted to do, but like what her dad was and just like, she's absolutely badass. The whole climbing the cliff, the beginning of the first couple of chapters of walking that path, a little narrow path when it was raining, meeting her friend, changing the boots, and like everything, little details here and there. It's just freaking phenomenal.
It's so well done.
Yeah. It is, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I was scrolling away on social media, and there's this maker that I see every once in a while who made this like really beautiful blue dragon-esque dress. And I had saw your comment underneath it. And then that's kind of how I found you on social media.
That was the way?
I
had no idea that was... Oh, yeah. When I saw that outfit, I was like, oh, my God. It was so good.
Yeah.
So beautiful. And she looked amazing in it. And I was just like, Segail would approve.
No. Yes. You know? And I wish I could remember the creator's name. Like, I'll go back and look for it. Because as soon as I saw your comment, I was like, oh, I'm going to pitch her to come on the show. Because, like, we like having people that are a little bit more on social media, like, even if they don't have, like, big followings. But the fact that you commented and took time to, like, celebrate someone's piece of artwork and be like excited about it. Oh, I was like, yep, I'm going to DM you right now.
It's funny because I have people who respond back to me, oh, thank you so much for commenting or saying something. And I just think, of course I'm going to. If I see it, I'm all in there. I'm all about like, yeah, like you say, like supporting people who are being creative and doing their own thing. And yeah, why not?
Yeah, it seems like such a, like, you think common sense, like, oh, yeah, like, of course, if I see something that relates to, like, my line of work, I'm going to say something on it. But a lot of celebrities don't. Like, they kind of like to keep that distance between people that like their art form. Mm-hmm. But I'm the complete opposite. Like, if I see somebody who, like, pays homage to something I've done or, like, compliments or does a reaction video to our content, I'm always like, thank you so much. Like, I appreciate you taking the time and caring.
Well, I got hate on that comment.
What?
I got hate on that comment.
Why?
Like, who cares? What was the comment? Like, who cares what you think? And I was like, you're 100% right. Who cares what I think? I just happened to see it and thought it was amazing, and so I wanted to let her know. Period.
That annoys me so much. Like, this is why people don't comment on each other's stuff. I mean, like,
did the person know who you were?
Yeah, because I said, like, as the voice of Segale, this is, like, she would approve, basically. Like, this is amazing. And then the other person was like, who cares who you are, basically.
Oh, my God. I'm gagged. That hurts me.
That hurts me, too.
Wow. Well, I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, but you know.
Don't want to bother
you. But you know that happens. It happens. It's not the first time it's happened, either. So
dang.
I forgot what happened. I had another comment on something else, a book that I read, where I had pronounced the name Monaco. For Monaco. But my husband, we live literally 10 minutes from France. Uh-huh. And it's Monaco, 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 right? And so I just said Monaco. And then they're like, if she would just learn how to pronounce the name of Monaco correctly.
Oh.
And I was like, thank you so much for recognizing that I used the actual French pronunciation of the word, living so close. I didn't really, you know, I didn't even think about Americanizing it for the audience. And my author was like, behind the author was like, that is such a good response to that.
Yes, that's a great response.
It's true because it can be subjective. Like, you know, sometimes maybe it would be better to do an Americanized version of a name, but I literally didn't even think about it because I hear it all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Living in Europe, it's just hard. Sometimes to make that decision, decision to Americanize it or not.
And if it was a problem, they would have had you redo it. Absolutely. Right? Like, you
100% think? 100%. No, there are proofers and there are people who check all that. So, yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Interesting. Man, people are going in on you. Well, you're in a safe space. I promise. You're in the Duluth canoe.
I feel that.
We will hug and hold you. We'll make sure you're okay. But speaking of Delulu, I do want to know, though, as somebody who, like, I imagine you do a lot of, like, not press tours, but maybe, like, more tours for the different voices that you do for the different books. Like, I looked up your discography. Is that technically what it would be for audiobooks?
Yeah.
It's, like, huge. You've done so much voice work.
Yeah.
And I got to know, like, is there something that runs rampant in your brain that has to do with voice work or, like, where you're at in life? Like, what makes you Delulu?
I mean, I think my job makes me Delulu because I was a stay-at-home. I was an actor in L.A. for 9 years in the 90s when I was here. And then I met my husband. And this is the story. Like, this is really very close to me because it just happened like a week. My son was here for a week visiting from Switzerland.
Oh.
And I took him to, I don't know if you know the restaurant Jones. It's on Santa Monica Boulevard. It's in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I was rehearsing after a play that I was doing for the Blank Theater Company. And we just got a drink after rehearsals. And we're sitting at the bar in this restaurant bar kind of a place. And I just happened to look at the door and this guy walked in. And I was like, oh, my God. My heart was in my stomach. It was love at first sight. And so my first son is named Jones after the restaurant. So, like, being in that, like, you know, being a stay-at-home mom after having been in L.A. and, you know, working on being a working actor, that was just so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of finding this again, finding a way, an outlet to be creative has just been, like, everything. To me, which has made me kind of Delulu about making it something that's big, right? Like making it to be something,
yeah.
Especially from Switzerland. I mean, like, I literally have to be the poster child for DeLulu. Simply because, simply because most people would not think that I could record over 450 audiobooks.
Oh my God, yeah.
Living in Switzerland.
Yeah.
And have like national, oh God, sorry, You're national kidding. Toyota commercials mm-hmm. on TV right now that are running. You know, yeah. my mom was like crying on the phone. She was like, oh my God, I saw pregame your commercial ran for the Super Bowl. And I was like, I love you, mother.
But,
you know, like to do those things from there, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, the agent that I have now, she told me when I met her 4 years ago, she's like, you're really good, but you're never going to have an agent. In LA, she's like, it's just you lived so far away, it's not gonna happen. And then she's my agent.
And you took that and you were like, wrong. Yes, exactly. I love that. Yeah. I love proving people wrong in the best way.
That's LA energy right there.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It never left me. It never left me.
Wow. So 4 years ago, that agent said that to you. Mm-hmm. How did you prove the agent wrong, or how did you win them over?
So, but see, that's exactly the key. So I left, it was a retreat in Switzerland for all these, like, there's a guy named J. Michael mm-hmm. Collins who runs these kind of VO retreats where you can kind of hang out closely with agents and, you know, managers and working people in the business and industry and coaches and casting people and things like that. So I took the jump and I did that kind of workshop thing. It was like 4 or 5 days and mm-hmm. Met all these people, and I met this Trish, my agent for the DPN, and she was amazing. And she was so kind of like, you would just think that's the energy I want for an agent, you know? So when she told me that, I said, okay, thank you for telling me that. I appreciate it. Cause she was like, her thing was like, you're not going to find someone in LA. Try New York. It's closer on your time zone. You know, it might be easier for you there, but it's still going to be hard. And I was like, thank you for the good advice. Cause it's, you know, she didn't like set up my expectations. It's going to happen next day or whatever.
Yeah.
And living in Europe, I did do commercials over there sparsely, like one or two a year, but it's very different than America. So I trained with great coaches like Tina Marosco, Mary Lynn Wisner, who are great. And then I did like a couple of sessions with them. And then I reached out to Trish again and I said, hey, I wanted to let you know that I'm working with these people that you had suggested to me, and I'm taking it seriously, and this is like really what I want to focus on in the next year or whatever. This was 3 years ago, in January, mm-hmm. and she sent me like one audition a week for like 6 weeks, and then I booked Toyota in February of 2023, and then that's how I got my agent, basically.
Wow. So she took a shot on you in a way. It was mm-hmm. like, okay, you're doing the work. Let's see what you got.
Yeah. And so, you know, not like a ton of stuff I was getting, but I got things that she thought that I would be good for. And then.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Right. Wow. Yeah. Interesting. So you met her in person out here and then moved?
No, I met her in person in Switzerland.
In Switzerland. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But wow. I travel a lot back and forth for audiobook, you know, conferences or conventions or mm-hmm. award shows and things like that, because you have to be where the people are that you want to hire you.
Definitely.
I mean, you know what it's like. You can send an email and be, you know, a name on an email, but if they don't know you or meet you in person, yes, it can work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more likely when someone gets to know you and you get to know them that you can foster a relationship that's beneficial to you both.
Definitely. There's something about like seeing someone's energy in person that like we've sort of lost out here in LA. Like all of my auditions are now self-tape.
Right.
Like I haven't.
Such a shame.
Right? Yeah. I've never been in the line with the 100 versions of me like everyone used to talk about back in the day, because you would see everybody that looks just like you auditioning for the same thing. And I haven't had that experience, which I think is probably nice for me. Probably makes me a little less nervous. But also it's an experience that you can't replicate with self-tapes now.
And also who you meet in those situations. Like when I was out here, I had a call back to producers. Like I went straight from like a casting thing that I'd done. Same kind of a thing. Like every people who look similar to me, whatever. And then I'm at this callback and, you know, I'm in the studio. I don't remember where it was. Studio area kind of building. Mm-hmm. And like Patrick Dempsey walks by.
Wow.
Right? Like asked me out on a date.
Oh.
Like, those things don't happen when you're not in places where those kinds of people can be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just not the same anymore. And it's not in, like, a bad way, but it's definitely, like, we're not as connected anymore.
I think so, too.
Yeah. It's just we're not getting that, like, face-to-face, meeting people, interacting with people sort of vibe anymore. And I don't know if it's ever going to go back. It's tough to say because they're saving so much money on not, renting the spaces.
I mean, it might eventually.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. There's a yearning for it. But also, mm-hmm. I think, like I said, like last year, there's been a lot of like independent film festivals.
Yeah.
Yeah. That are like booming with more entries than I think previous years, even before the pandemic. So that's where it's at right now. And if that keeps on going well, then other industries are going to like start like, hey, you know what? They're taking over. Mm-hmm. We can hire them, but let's get back into where we, you know, what we lost, you know? So.
Yeah, you're not wrong. The indie circuit is quite large now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's always been big, but it, like you said, it's like not what it used to.
Exactly.
But same thing with the verticals. Have you done any of those or anything like that? No?
No, not at all. But one of my friends who's also an audiobook narrator, she's kind of getting big into verticals now. So she's coming out here in a couple of weeks to shoot something.
Yeah.
But they like really have started taking off.
They have award shows now for them.
Like, she just got nominated for up and coming.
That's crazy.
Vertical new person. Yeah. So I was like super happy for her. Yeah.
Wow. Dang. That's really exciting. No. Wait. So is she out in Switzerland too?
No. She's in Atlanta.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Man, I haven't heard anybody in Atlanta in a long time.
Right.
Yeah. I can't even imagine what that industry is like right now.
I know. Disney's gone.
Disney's gone.
Marvel's gone.
Marvel's gone.
Yeah. Marvel's
gone.
Like, yeah. My cousin is an EMT, so she's was a medic.
Mm-hmm.
Was a medic on TV shows, right? Mm-hmm. And her work has just completely dried up.
From Atlanta.
Yeah.
Wow. Because, yeah, that was a big move, was to save money in Atlanta instead of filming out here. But
it moved from, like, Chicago to Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know.
Now it's in Ireland and
UK.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of makes sense, but it also doesn't. It's like, oh, we need to bring it back to LA.
Yeah.
But I'm biased because I live here. So I'm like, bring it back. Like, leave it here. We need it.
I think, isn't that what Hollywood is? I mean, isn't that kind of LA is Hollywood in a sense?
Yeah.
It's almost like if you don't have Hollywood, you've got some nice weather.
I mean, it's still
just expensive.
I was going to say some expensive.
Yeah.
It's to the point where it's just where all the corporations are, but nothing's filmed here. You know, it's just like, it's a home. But it used to be the place to go and film everything.
Yeah.
That's why it's so different. I'm like, 2 hours in any direction, you're in a different like location. You know, it's desert here, beach over there, mountains over there, forest over there, Koreatown over there. You know, like,
yeah,
you can just shoot a lot. But I think, I don't know, if either A, it's in everything. When I first moved out here, I'm like, hey, I know where that movie's from. Mm-hmm. Like 101st Dates or whatever. It was like in that downtown with the hill and the trolley car that goes down. I was like, I know that movie. Or like the LA River. So many things have been filmed there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's always iconic. And it's always trying to looking for something new, which I understand. Like Chicago, beautiful. Doesn't really get much screen time.
Yeah.
New York, always. Everybody shoots in New York. Even back in the days. Some of the best action cop movies are from New York, you know? But like, Florida, not much.
Atlanta, yeah, no.
You know?
Florida's kind of, you know, it's just theme park land.
But then it gets expensive because of, like, you know, the permits you need and the people. And some people, like a friend of mine, he's a CG 3D artist, right? And he complains that everything goes over to Singapore or something like that because they're cheaper.
Oh, that
so
makes
they
sense.
Don't, they don't cost as much as our guys here do. So I can understand it. We got to go where it's cheaper.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah, it's definitely not cheap out here in LA, that's for sure.
No,
but like, you make the time to travel out here, be boots on the ground, be more involved. So when you make trips like that, are you booking like all of your work in these windows that you're here? Or are you kind of able to like do remote work from home and then come visit and do the red carpets and the award ceremonies?
So basically, I just fit them all in whenever I can. So if I'm nominated, I'm going to be there for sure. And then sometimes, just like with audiobooks, you know, I'm not nominated this year, but it's the really only time I get to see face-to-face any producers who might want to hire me or I've worked with before that I can just talk to and reconnect with. So, I mean, it's I try to make it that whenever I'm coming to the States and I, you know, have a book that I can record in, you know, at Macmillan in New York City because my family lives in Philly.
Oh,
Or,
nice.
you know, I try to kind of organize that around it. So now I'm here for 3 or 4 months and I'm working the whole entire time. I already have audiobooks booked, but I also want to be able, hopefully, to do other things as well, like animation, video games, anything.
Anything while you're here. And
Anything.
you just won an award too recently,
I
right?
did,
Yeah,
yes.
that's so exciting.
Thank you.
I know you posted something being like, "Oh, I didn't think I was gonna win." It was like very
But
cute
I
to see
really
you.
didn't. I mean, that was like,
Yeah.
I had like 7 nominations. So there was like one or two that I thought, okay,
Wait, you were
maybe.
nominated 7 times?
Yes.
That's
I
awesome.
didn't know that.
Down one from last year.
Wow, that's incredible.
Slipping.
Yeah, it looks like it. That's
Yeah, so it was
incredible,
amazing. But
though.
you know, sometimes you think, okay, I'm gonna have a better shot at maybe this one or that
Yeah.
one. So this one that I won for, I was completely out of the blue because I was really up against a lot of great narrators and like this really famous guy named Eduardo Ballerini, who's like a friend of mine. And I was like, it's Eduardo for sure, he's gonna win it, you know. And then like, and you're in there in the dining area, right? And you see the camera and you see them all. And the guy, like, when my friend had won before me, the guy's camera was like on him. Like, I didn't think about it until after the fact. And I was like, oh, he was zooming in on him to get his reaction when he won. Okay. So when my category came around, the guy was like, you saw him like, kind of like listening to his ear thing, whatever. And he's like, and then he put his camera down. And I'm like, oh,
Oh, not me.
not me. Definitely, definitely not me. You know what I mean? Like, okay, not me, but like, definitely not me. And so I'm telling my friend, like my other friends took a video. You can see me going like, it's not gonna be me. Don't film me. It's okay. You know, you're filming your friends for their reactions or whatever, you know. And then suddenly, so then you saw my reaction because I was like, holy hell, that was me, you know. So it was complete surprise.
Oh, I
Complete
love
surprise.
that.
It was lovely though. It was really lovely.
And it was for a
It was for a
thriller?
thriller, yeah.
Yeah, that's
I've been
amazing.
doing more of those the last couple of years. I really like them. They're really fun.
I was gonna ask, like, what is your favorite genre that you tend to lean more towards, just in your personal opinion, that you like doing most?
I mean, I love romanticism, I have to say,
Ooh.
because I love fantasy. I mean, and then, you know, being able to play Sigale is just a dream come true. But I love horror also. Like, I grew up on Stephen King. So, I
Ah,
mean, it's like
okay.
I was reading that when I was like 10. Like, I remember reading Christine when I was 10 and
Oh,
living in a cul-de-sac. And then anytime a car would drive down, I was
yeah.
like, oh my God, she's coming for me.
You're like spooked by it.
Yes.
Oh,
And
I
so,
love
and then it went
it.
on from there. So, like, I literally remember my whole high school was just, I was such a nerd. I was the biggest nerd ever. And I would just like walk and read my little Stephen King books because, you know, they're like that thick. So it took me
Yes.
like a million years, which is awesome. I love
Yeah.
taking time to read something. And I would just read my books walking down the halls.
Okay,
So
Belle.
horror, I know I'm a true Belle. So horror
Yeah.
was re is really one of has one close to my heart for sure.
Oh, I love that. So you are like
Sci-fi,
a big
fantasy.
reader then too. Oh,
Yeah, I was a definitely
I
I've
love
always
it.
been. At 7, I had my own library in the closet my mom made for me for the like the neighborhood children to come and check out books.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nobody really did, but
Oh,
man.
you were like
But I
a way to
had my
make
little,
friends, and then they
yes.
never came.
But I had my little library.
Yeah. Okay, then is Belle like your favorite Disney princess?
I have to tell you, it's been very hard to admit that that Ariel is I watched The Little Mermaid probably 55 million times. I knew the whole movie by heart, would sing all the songs, you know, like just and so like even when I would visit my sister when my niece was younger, I would like sing her to sleep with, look at this stuff, isn't it neat? You know, or then I would vacillate with like, you know, my dear sweet child is what I do, is what I live for. And then I would sing all these songs to her because those are the songs that I really knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Oh, okay. We are in for a treat today. We get a little bit of voice acting while you're here for
There you
free.
go.
Ooh, I love it. So then I have to know, just this is my own personal question. Did you know that Fourth Wing was going to be as big as it is? Or did you just kind of like, oh yeah, it's a fantasy book. Can't wait to play a character in it. Were you up for any other characters? How did that roll
You
out?
know, when that, so I was with Graphic Audio already before, and they just have like a big cast, a big pool of people that they pick from, right? And I would had already reached out to the director. I'm like, I need to be a part of this. I don't
Ooh.
care who I play. I have to be a part of this book because yes, it's a great book,
So you had
period.
read Fourth Wing.
I listened to the audiobook.
Got it. Okay.
Well,
okay.
Part of the audiobook, and then I finished reading it because I couldn't finish it that way. So I just read it. And he was like, Stephanie, I think you are, your voice is just, it's a little too old to play one of these, you know, people in the academy or like wherever, you know, in Best Gaiath or whatever. And I was like,
but like, there are teachers.
Stop it. I know.
Harry Potter. There's a bunch of old teachers.
I know. I was like, okay.
Wow.
Okay, Scott. Fine. That was part one of the book, right? Mm-hmm. And then part one, part two, because he goes, I've got a role for you. And I was like, okay. I was like, because he just like emailed me, I've got a role for you. It's coming in a couple of days. And I was like, okay, great, awesome. You know, and then I saw it and I was like, oh my God, it's the perfect role.
Yeah.
The only bad part is that she doesn't have that much to say. And then when I met Rebecca in Edinburgh last year, I was like, is Sigil going to have any more lines? And she was like, Sigil is not her dragon. And I was like, oh God, she's so right. And then I had the whole chapter, Zayden's point of view chapter that we just released mm-hmm. at Christmas time, right before Christmas. So, which was just amazing and dream come true.
Yeah.
To be able to do all those lines of hers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm still pushing for like, you know, a Zayden POV book.
Yes. Now, do you know the other voice actors? Like, have you like rallied them and been like, listen, y'all, we need a Zayden POV.
Well, we just did a TikTok. Like, it was me and Gabriel and Kaya and Rob and, oh, who plays Sawyer? So it was like Sawyer, Riddick, Zayden, Violet, me. I was like the surprise guest. Like, they didn't know I was coming.
Oh,
and they
yay!
Were all talking about it. About, you know, just the whole series and everything like that. And you know, definitely people in the comments were just like, we need more Zayden. We need more Sigil.
Yes.
Of course. I mean, but they have such a good rapport. I mean, it's like, you know, she's very protective of him. It's like, you know, he would be her son, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we talk all the time.
Oh, I love that. That's I love that you all know each other and talk.
Oh, God. And there's amazing also voice actors. It's just really, really, you know. Great to see everybody's success and see whatever other characters that they play and stuff like that. So
yeah, like following everybody else's careers too mm-hmm. to see what other things they pop up with exactly. and what they're in.
Yeah.
Now, do you primarily enjoy playing a character in a series or do you like being the narrator more?
I was just thinking about that actually a few days ago. I used to think that, you know, being the narrator and doing an audiobook, you get to play all the characters. Mm-hmm. And that is very cool, but it's also extremely challenging. Mm. I had a scene the other day where I, you know, she was like crying and she's like very upset. And he's like very calm and he's like, you know, he's like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be right. But you know, and I'm literally like going back and forth. And for me, it's very hard because as an actor, as you I'm sure can relate to, like, when I cry, if you hear like the actor in the book or the character in the book is like upset mm-hmm. or I am literally crying. I have tears streaming down my face. Sometimes I have to stop until I can compose myself to kind of get back into that moment. So it gets super challenging. And also like I just did a serial killer thing and you know, playing the you know, the victim and then like the ruthless person is also, so it's like, it's super hard. It's very challenging and great, but sometimes it's just nice to be like Lahaba and be like, oh, baby, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like playing a super fun character and then you're just one person or you're like three different people, but they're not in a scene together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can really compartmentalize. You play like, you know, Sigil. And then I think I've played like three or four other characters in Fourth Wing.
Yeah.
Audio drama somewhere. Like, I don't even know how I was. I think it was a student.
Yeah. Just like background or
exactly.
Yeah.
A couple lines here or there, mm-hmm. you know? And then, so it depends. It depends, really.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, I mean, I love, you know, I just recorded, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. Who's Odessa?
You're just doing so
Shield
much.
Of Sparrows. Shield of Sparrows.
Ooh.
So another romantic-y. That mm-hmm. was actually the audiobook version with Samantha Brentmore and Jason Clark is nominated for like audiobook of the year because, and that's based on sales. Like that's how much, you know, romanticy and romance is selling these days. You know,
oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't give it enough credit. Like, everyone talks down about romance and it's not like a real genre. I mean, it's a genre, but it's like, it's just like, you know, people talk down about it all the time, but it absolutely holds the whole industry up.
Clearly selling, so people clearly like it.
It's changed a lot different from the Fabio areas. With like Trevor, and that's what people still have in their mm-hmm. brain.
I think you're right.
100%. But like seriously, when my friend, my partner, she told me about that one, like Fourth Wing, and there was another one before it. And I was like, that's a romance one. She's like, you'll love it. I'm like, is there audio? He's like, yeah. I was like, all right.
I'm in.
I'm like, is the person boring? Does narrow? He's like, no, it's a full audio cast. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Because sometimes you get an audiobook and the person has no feeling.
Yes, nothing. Very dryly
read.
He
walked into the thing and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I might as well just hear the pages being turned. I
mean, yeah.
But
yes.
Somebody, like, that's why I'm really picky about that. Mm-hmm. So if somebody has, like, this guy... another voice actor, which I admire, he does mostly all the Star Wars. His name is Jonathan Davis. Mm-hmm. He does every single voice from the Emperor to Leia to Rey to Luke to everything, creatures, like everything. I'm like,
it's amazing.
With the sound effects in the background and everything, I'm like, wow, like, he's doing it all. And I want to see a visual of him doing it live if he does just every character and then he comes back and do another character or
no, whatever. No, you have to do it. You do it in the moment.
In the moment. Yeah. That's intense.
Yes, it is.
You got to have Robin Williams energy.
Yeah.
But you do. And like my husband would be like, I come up from work. I've got my places in the basement. And so he's like, and I'm like, oh my God, I am exhausted. And he's like, you were like downstairs all day, like in your booth, like reading a book. Like, what are you... He doesn't understand. He doesn't get it. You know? He doesn't. And I'm like, no, you don't understand the mental acuity you have to have, and mm-hmm. and the flexibility, and the, like you're saying, like doing all these different voices and keeping the characters straight, you know. And like my friend Marnie Henning just did a video TikTok about this. She's like, you know, she has a dinner scene where you have like all the people that are in the book basically all sitting down to dinner and talking.
Oh my God.
And the best part is when it's like six characters and they're all like 25 and they're all girls.
Yes.
Right. And they all have their own voice, but they're so close. I mean, they're so close, and you don't want to make a caricature that people don't believe you. It's just, ooh, gets you working.
Yeah.
Get your brain going for sure.
I was
going
to ask, what does your husband do for a living?
He's in internet computer advertising things.
Okay, so he's not in like entertainment, essentially.
No, God,
gotcha.
No.
Gotcha. Because like for a lot of people that do watch our show, they also aren't in entertainment, essentially. So it's like a lot of times they don't really understand how much energy we have to put into what we do.
Oh my gosh.
And it's not even like in the moment during the take. A lot of times it's doing the background work
and
setting yourself up so that way when you are in the booth and you are recording, you have that emotional vulnerability. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you can kind of like walk us through a day in your basement. Like what is that like? Like you creep downstairs with your coffee, or do you wake up really early and do vocal warm-ups? Like, what does your day look like if you have like a full day of work?
Okay, so in Switzerland, kids come home for lunch. Okay.
What?
Kids come home for lunch. So I got used to cooking lunch every day. And like that's kind of your big meal of the day, mm-hmm. right? So I still, even my kids are older, like that's the meal that I've decided to keep making. Because we never really, dinner was always kind of like light things or whatever. So I will have coffee with my husband. We have coffee every morning together. He works from home. Mm-hmm. I work from home. So we do that. It's like a lovely little ritual we have. And then I come back and I like make lunch for everybody. And so my kids are like older now, so they don't go to school anymore. My oldest one is in university. But so I still make the big lunch. And oh my God,
You're great.
So I cook lunch, and then I don't get started until like I basically have kind of East Coast hours. Mm-hmm. So I start around like 1 or 2, and then I can be down there until like 8, 10, depending. Wow. I'll come up for like, you know, a coffee break or whatever. But you know, so not only do I, you know, you have all the admin part of being your own boss, being a freelancer. It's not, mm-hmm. I mean, it looks great. Like when I'm on TikTok, everyone comes in, it's like, oh, I want to do it. You have my dream job. And I'm mm-hmm. like, do I have your dream job? Because it's a lot harder than it looks.
Yeah.
You know? So I will do admin stuff and I'll get in and I'll, you know, read. I'll do my book. And then, you know, if I can do it on TikTok Live, I will. Anything mm-hmm. that's like indie or Podium is really good about allowing me to do it. I think a lot of big publishers are kind of really missing out on an opportunity because I have so many people who are just like, what are you reading? what's this book? Oh my God, I love it. What is this book? Or what's this book 2 in the series? And just bought book 1. Like things like that, you know, they really get into it and they love, you know, listening to how the process is. And they're like, oh, you don't just read it all the way through. Like you make mistakes and, you know, yeah, I do. Yeah. And so depending on how focused I am, you know, I will just record that in a day. And then because I'm so far ahead, I'll save all my auditions for my agent until like my break around 3 or 4 to do things that are due by 9 o'clock in the morning. Like, it's so weird that like Switzerland is like in bed, you know, basically right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I do that. And then, you know, I roll up at like 8, 9, 10 and I literally just go straight to bed. It's been horrible for my physical physical exercise, which I have had none. I just get, because you talk about this whole thing about being in the Delulu canoe, like I got that. I really became, that became kind of like my mantra in the sense of like creating something for myself, and I've just gotten obsessed with it. And just do delusional things, like, you know, reach out to this person or that agent or prove to them that I am doing something, or you know, moving to LA for 4 months, you know, so things like that. So that's my day. I mean, you know, and then you have, when you're done recording, you still have to probably read and prep the next book and figure out your characters. And you're not just reading it, like you're marking it and you're like making note of, okay, this is a, you know, for instance, I'll have like a chapter where I have 2 people talking, and then I have a chapter that comes in and I've got 6 characters in there. Cool. So I like mark everybody down. I've got to mark everybody. Do they have an accent? Do they have, you know, are they described as having a deep voice, you know, raspy or whatever, you know? And so you have to like make notes of all of that. And then, so when you come into a chapter or you're starting a new book, you have to think about, where does everybody sit? Because sometimes the voices are not as far away as they can be. So they're super close. But if you know that she's only in like 2 chapters, then you can give her maybe a voice that'll set her apart more, or, you know, or closer to somebody else who she doesn't really appear in a chapter with. So it's like a lot of things you've had to think about and to juggle around. And, you know, then there's researching for, you know, I'm doing a book that's going to be, has a lot of Hungarian names in it and stuff like that.
Whoa.
So to think about, you know, how is this name pronounced? Are we going to do the Americanized version of Hungarian words? Or like, you know, there's just so much more to just reading the book and, okay, I'm going to, this is what I'm going to do. There's research that goes into it and a lot of different aspects of it.
You have to be like a dramaturg too, because you have to like, not only read and know how to read the words and say them, but you have to understand, like, where is this scene going? Like, this, it wasn't just written to fill pages in a book. Like, there's a reason the author kept this section.
Exactly. It's pacing.
It's hard. Yeah.
It's pacing, right? I just got a really great review from someone who, I just did a book called Dollface, which is so good.
I saw you advertise that one. And I was like, what is this?
It's horror. It's one of my favorite writers, Lindy Ryan. And I do another series for her called, the first book's called Bless Your Heart. So good. It takes place in East Texas. It's all about 4 generations of women who run a funeral parlor who have to put down the dead after they're dead, kind of a thing. It's so good. But this new book is Dollface, and it's great because I was asking her about, because she's got some really great descriptions about who they are. And there's a couple of people, and like, it takes place in New Jersey, but are they, do you want like a Jersey accent, or do you, you know, or you just want like kind of neutral, whatever. And so she's talking about, she goes, when my mom heard me talking about this character, Darla, she just heard Jennifer Coolidge.
Amazing.
Like, do you want a hot dog real bad? Exactly.
She's living that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just leaned into that, and I had the best time with her. It's just a great book. A lot of different great characters. She's an expert at creating these amazing characters that are so fleshed out that you just feel like you absolutely have no question like what they're going to sound like.
Wow.
Because she just writes them so well. She teaches at Rutgers.
Oh.
So yeah. Okay. She's amazing. She's a great
clearly
author.
Knows what she's doing.
She's got an idea of
Wow. And I was also going to ask, like, in the lineup of your day, are you, when you're recording, do you get the chance to like get feedback right away from the author, or is it like you submit it and then if they have a problem with it, that's when they reach out and are like, hey, can you fix this and this?
No, that does not happen.
Wow. Okay. No feedback.
No. Well, the only kind of, I mean, like, no, there's no feedback unless it. No.
So once it's done, it's done?
Well, the whole thing is they usually either I'm cast from something else I've done for them or for someone else, or they've listened to samples or sent out to the person, to the author, or there's an audition. So I'm reading part of their book.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they get to hear kind of what I do. But then after that, it's kind of up to me. And then like the questions that I ask them. Mm-hmm. But I don't really, I guess now more so that I've been doing this for so long, I don't really ask that many questions. It's kind of like, how do you hear this? But I love if an author has an idea about something, like I really saw this as, you know, oh, she's kind of like Sarah Michelle Gellar and he's kind of like I love things like that. Please.
Yeah.
It just only helps me, makes it easier for me because I know what you're kind of expecting.
Exactly.
You know, and then, although sometimes someone will say, oh, you know, he's got the, you know, like I just hear Patrick Warburton in my head, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But they'll say, you know, Patrick Dempsey, for instance, you know, but he looks like him or he sounds like him because sometimes those are two very different things.
Yeah.
Right. So you'd be really clear. Like, what are you, how he, like, he's like, he's got the look of that guy or does he sound like that guy?
It's like Idris Elba. He has a
yes,
look.
He's got a
he
look.
Also has a, he has a voice. And when he does his American one, he has another personality.
Exactly.
And it's just three different people in one. It's just absolutely amazing.
100%. Yeah. Exactly that. Yeah.
That's a lot of trust in voice actors that I wasn't even aware of. That like they're really kind of, once you're picked, they're like, here you go. These are the pages that are due. This is when they're due.
Because you know what happens, honestly? Mm. It happened when I first started out. You have an author who has an idea in their head of what they want, and then it becomes a micromanagement problem. It is becomes a nightmare. Because then, you know, like you hear a voice in your head and you pick someone who you think can do that, can do the process. But the ratio of time to money made, if you're being micromanaged, and actually, you know what? I like the line read of that. Can you give that to me again?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like a line read? And that's like one note of 80 in like the first chapter.
Wow.
So that has happened. And it's just like, no. So now people are really trying. I mean, of course, within reason, if there's something that's just completely, but hopefully you've like worked that out beforehand. Yeah. And I think especially when people are starting out, like I think, you know, I would give, you know, these are the ideas I have for the characters and give you all the character voices that I have in my head. Please say yes or no or whatever. You know, that's when you do it before the book starts. Because once the book starts, it really has to be your baby because you, to be micromanaged, it doesn't make sense. You're making like $2 an hour. It's like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't work. It doesn't for anybody. And then like, and then the author can become obsessed with like exactly how every little thing sounds. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you have to let it go. Trust that someone's going to make it work for you. I mean, I've known people who have done that and then someone has just not liked what they did and they paid them and they had somebody else record it.
Wow.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah. That's happened before too. And in movies too with actors.
But people can recast.
Yeah. Especially music too. Some of the people's person's voice. But that the person, like let's say someone like Jennifer Lopez would be in the music video with the other person, but it won't be Jennifer Lopez singing. It'll be like someone like Ashanti or something like that doing like the backups or something like that because they didn't like the way the label did not like the way that J-Lo did it.
Right.
So they'll use somebody else. It's like, we'll just mask that, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes it goes unnoticed, but sometimes you can totally tell. Like Back to the Future, perfect example. A lot of it was already filmed.
Yep.
With
Eric Stoltz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of it.
Crazy.
And then they're just like, we're gonna get Michael J. Fox. And like, seriously, people have made jokes and like gags about it. But I think that movie would not have turned out the way it is without Michael J. Fox.
It would be a totally different movie.
Yeah.
Different movie.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, even like The Notebook is a great example. They tested Britney Spears.
Whoa.
And her audition's out there. You can see it now. It recently got released. I don't know who did it, but they released it. And she was good. She was incredible. Wow. But like, could you imagine The Notebook with Britney Spears instead of Rachel McAdams? Because it would have been a different movie.
It would have been totally different.
Yeah. And I think like a lot of times people that also aren't in the industry, we kind of see a lot of shows like Has Been Hotel or Hell of a Boss. We see a lot of those actors like in the booth and getting that like one-on-one reaction with the actual like director. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we see that as like, oh, that must be like voice acting for audiobooks too. And it's easy to make that assumption, but it's so interesting to hear that it is very much so like, I picked you for this role. I trust you with this. Here you go.
Yeah.
Like that's I think a lot of people out there that really want this job. You got to be your best boss, your own boss.
I've heard people in the video games. I have friends that do voices in video games, and they're just like, yeah, it's nothing like reading a script or doing an audiobook. It's like, hey, what are you doing? 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 Blah, blah, blah. Like that line for like 100 and some odd times. Mm-hmm. And then they go on to the next one and to the next one. And none of it's like put together. It's not linear. It's just like, we're going to grab this and we're going to paste it together ourselves. And because the animator is already, it's a beast.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of voice actors don't do audiobooks because they're just like, you don't make any money compared to time to money ratio is so different.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about, I as an actor, I really love doing audiobooks. I started in audiobooks in that sense. And so I think it's why it's always close to my heart. But, you know, like sometimes when you have like some great auditions coming in for video games and animation and stuff, you're just like, I want to do that.
Yeah. Is there like a goal or a show that you're watching now that you're like, I want to be on that?
Do you know, I don't really watch TV.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no worries.
I don't have time.
Yeah.
I've been so obsessed about, you know, being the best in audiobooks and, you know, doing better audiobooks that I have literally, I used to work like 24/7. I mean, every single day. Like I wouldn't even have a day off because I was, you know, you hear people in the industry say, there's nothing. I don't have anything in my schedule, you know, next month. And I'm like, I do. But is that going to dry up?
Yeah.
Like I do. I have, you know, I'm booked. I've got things into October. But like,
damn.
But is it going to be like done? Am I going to end up there? Am I going to end up being like someone, you know, so I'm like taking everything that comes in, not necessarily being super, you know, picky as to what I'm taking. Mm. And so I've had to really kind of rein myself in and be like, okay, you can do this. People know who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be fine. You know, you can be pickier about like what you're taking. Yeah. I'm just taking every single thing that comes in, no matter what it is.
Yeah. I used to be that way too, where I would say yes to everything. But for some reason this year, I don't know if you're feeling this, but there is like a magnitude or like some sort of like magic or something is in the air where it's like I have been looking a different direction and things are coming in.
Yes.
And I feel like you have that. Like you have that attraction, that like Midas touch kind of vibe to you where it's like if you're not looking at it and you're not like so hyper fixated and obsessing over it, it will come.
100%. Yep. I've really tried to lean into that this year too. It's weird. Mm-hmm. I felt the energy coming. You know, I made the decision before the year started, but I wanted to start the year here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's really, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you got to take chances, right? Mm-hmm. And when opportunities present themselves and the timing is right, then, I mean, it was a great idea when I had it like in July.
yeah.
Here for a few months. I'm going to be in LA and I'm going to like pursue like video games and animation. I'm going to do that whole thing. And then it came and I was like, oh my God, I'm really moving to LA. And I haven't like lived by myself in like 25 years.
Wow. Like,
I've been married and have kids and like a whole. And then I suddenly got nervous about it and scared. And I just thought, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But I came anyway because I had an idea and, you know, and so but being here, it's like, okay, this is amazing. And I'm so glad that I did it. And almost that sense of kind of, you know, I have a group chat. We have a group chat of fellow VO artists.
Oh, yeah.
And we always talk about being DeLulu. All right, I'm going to be DeLulu. I'm just going to ask for this.
Yeah.
I'm going to be DeLulu. I'm just going to be DeLulu. I'm going to ask for that. So like we literally have DeLulu is in our chat all the time when we're like, you know, go for it, do it. What does it hurt to ask?
Yeah. Right?
So it's one of those things of like, even if nothing comes of it, right? I mean, my goals, if I don't achieve any of my goals, I still did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tried it and I proved to myself that I could do it, that I could come out here and, you know, and actually, you know, I am working while I'm here. I'm going to have a studio I just came from. I'll be going back to after we finish. And so, you know, like I'm working while I'm here and pursuing this other area that I want to do.
Yeah. That is taking a big risk, like coming back out to LA and like, especially because there's a little bit of like LA hate recently where everybody's like, everybody out here is terrible energy. And
you
like,
what?
I disagree.
LA.
Like,
I have not felt that at all.
I think everybody here is so great, but let's hear what you.
I'm from San Diego. Okay.
Let's hear it.
I grew up in San Diego. I'm a person of multiple talent. I like to do things. I like to get my hands into things. And there's nothing to do in San Diego besides enjoy the weather, relax, smoke a blunt, and just go to the beach and eat good food. So, like, for someone like me, I'm like, I will die here. I will die out of boredom. When I first came to L.A., I was like, wow. Right. My first month in L.A. was just, you wouldn't be able to believe it. None of my friends believed it. Like, why? How did you meet that person? Like, how did you get on that set? Or how did you get that job? It's like, I just went, wasn't looking for anything, stumbled upon it. And I've heard so many stories like LA sucks, people are rude, it's hard to get in the industry, it's hard to get a job, blah, blah, blah. It's all about who you know and everyone's rude. I'm like, because you didn't really want to go here.
Yeah.
Or you just don't have the drive. Just admit to that, but don't say LA sucks. It's like, yes, LA can be rude. We get a, like a thousand, like, what do you do? Or like, we get a lot of no's every day from auditions. But it's you know, we have to deal with traffic and look for parking. There's a lot of things that irritates us, but.
Sure.
Yes, we can be kind of rude, but we're not like New Yorkers, and we're, you know.
Hey, let's not make them mad now. I hear the keyboard warriors.
We love New York. We love New York.
We love it.
Exactly.
I would love to be in New York soon.
Right.
That'd be
same
great.
Same here. Same here. But just like, we just don't have time for bull, you know? We don't have, I don't know. There's the energy that we have here in LA that's just like, get it done. Let's do it. Let's work it. Let's work together. Let's be awesome.
Yeah. And there are, like, not great people out here. Like, let's, you know, we're not all amazing 100%. And magical.
There's a lot of people in the industry who are just, like, horrible. Still in that old 1970s mindset.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
yeah.
You know,
but also, it's kind of, like, up to you to protect your peace.
Exactly.
You know? Like, exactly. Like kind of what you were doing, where you're saying that, like, you wanted to be DeLulu and, like, take this trip and, like, come out here. And there was a moment where you felt like, oh my gosh, I'm actually like kind of nervous about it. And you had to rebuild your peace and be like, no, this is what I want. Like, I'm going to fight for this.
Yep. 100%.
So if there's anything you get out of this episode, I feel like that's a good lesson right there.
Do or forever wish you had.
That is exactly. Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's one of those things also, like, I'm too old.
Whatever.
You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? Like, I'm just, I don't.
27.
Well. Barely.
28.
Barely. I love it. Yes, yes.
But you know, like when I was here, you know, when I was young and out here and hungry to be, you know, an actor and all those kinds of things, I didn't have the drive.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I had the talent, right? But a lot of people have talent out here who never made it, never make it. And it was the people who had the drive and like, you know, you know what it's like. You know what it's like. You know, there are a lot of famous people out here and it's like you can throw a stone and hit somebody who's famous. Yep. So it's not like you don't know people. You know what I mean? I never asked anybody for anything. I never asked to be put on a show. I never asked, you know, like I just wasn't, I felt weird about it. I'm like, that's my friend. I'm not going to ask them for something. And, but people, other people I knew were like, why would you not? Like they're your friend. Like they should want to help you. Da, da, da. And I'm like, but so I didn't have that drive. And I was on set one time with, my acting teacher was friends with Dylan McDermott and he got me onto the practice, the practice.
Yeah.
Dylan McDermott, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Got me on the practice and he sat me down and we had, there was like a break in filming and he talked to me for like an hour and a half.
Oh.
And was just talking about, if you're not a shark, go.
Yeah.
Just leave LA. Like, don't leave the business. He's like, you're not, it's going to be so hard if you're not a shark. And I was like, oh shit, I don't think I'm a shark. I wasn't then. I am now.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I have evolved. But, you know, it was one of those things where I just really, I wasn't hungry enough. I wasn't hungry enough back then.
Yeah.
I love how many people have tried to tell you no, and you have proved them wrong.
I mean, I think like, that's something that I can, I love to tell those stories because for other people who've been told no, and it's never going to happen, and don't even try. Just like, say, okay. Thanks for, you know, thanks for your opinion, or you don't say thank you for your opinion, but and then do what you want to do.
Exactly.
And, but you have, the whole thing is too, is that you have to work at it.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if you get this with kind of like what you do and people wanting to do what you do, but when I'm in TikTok a lot, live narrating, people will come in and say, oh, I want to do this. You know, I heard I had a great voice. Like, I want to do your job. What do I do?
It's like that with bartending. Oh, I can bartend. It's easy. It's like, oh, you can mix a drink. Fine. But do you have the stamina? Do you have people skills? Can you relate to all kinds of people? Can you make them laugh? Have you had enough skills and tragic in your life to understand somebody when they want to vent to you?
Ooh,
like, do
this
you?
Is deep.
Oh no, yes. There's a lot that goes. Can you entertain? Can you meet people? Can you network? Can you ideas?
Memorize hundreds of drinks to make.
Yes.
Yeah.
Knowing the person is walking is like, hey, it's Johnny. He drinks blah 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 blah. Hey, how did it go the other night? Blah 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 blah.
Right?
He's like, oh, you remember? I'm like, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're creating a second home. You're creating a friend. There's so much more than just a perfect cocktail.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the whole thing too is I'm all about lifting people up and helping people. If you want to do this,
let's
absolutely do it.
Do it.
Yeah. But let me just tell you what
you're in for.
Let me tell you what you're in for.
Yeah.
And do some research. Mm-hmm. Come to me and say, I've been wanting to do this. People say I have a great voice and I've looked into this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Then I know it's not some random person who's never going to listen to what I said and they're not going to take me. They've researched something. Mm-hmm. They're interested. They've looked a little bit about it, but they're not sure about maybe which coach to do or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm right there for you.
Yeah.
But it's the people who just have this kind of like you said, like, I'm going to be a bartender. It looks so cool.
It looks really fun.
Yeah.
It looks easy. That's my favorite.
It's like, you know
why? It's so easy.
Yeah. There's more servers and bartenders because that's the easiest thing. You sit down and like, hey, how you doing? This is what we got on the menu. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Here's your food. Here's your check. Bye. There's not, I mean, they have to turn seats. That's how they make money.
Speed.
So there's nothing personal about your visit. But a bartender, yes, you're sitting at my spot. I'm your television. Let me entertain you. You're my viewer.
Yeah.
For as long as I can have you, which is pretty much sometimes the whole shift.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. But
yeah, I
totally understand that.
I was a bartender. I totally hear you.
100%. Yeah.
But so it's that thing of just like, yes, don't let people tell you no. I mean, mm-hmm. people can tell you no, but you don't have to listen to them. But you do have to do the work that comes with pursuing your dream, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's like, you know, like people think sometimes also as a voice actor, like you get an agent, like I got an
and
agent,
it all works out.
And that's it. Done.
Yeah.
And so, credits. You know?
So I've been told, you know, like, you know, I had a this was another I did a, you know, like sometimes I went into video games a couple years ago and I thought I was gonna be in video games and I threw together a little demo. I had something made for it, just so I'd have something.
Yeah.
Hadn't really done anything in it. Hadn't done any workshops or like that. And so I threw something together. And then, you know, I had a friend of mine, ask his agent about, like, was it any good? And they're like, who did your demo? This is, like, not good at all.
You know,
and this voice in particular is just, you're never going to book. It's not like your real voice. Okay. So cut to, guess what voice I booked to video games with? The voice that's like here, like she's like this super cool, like, you know, like this is the voice that I'm doing for Wizard of Legend 2. Like I play, you know, Ollie, and she's like, that's the voice that I booked, the one voice they said
that they told you never would.
It's never gonna book.
And
I got those jobs by myself on a, you know, pay to play, went out looking for it myself, and you know, again, did it, pursued it when I was told that I couldn't and didn't have an opportunity elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I created my own opportunity to make that happen.
Yeah. Now, I hate to like make you refresh this and retell everybody because it sounds like you do this a lot on TikTok. But if there are people that are watching this that are just basically going to be like, listen, how would you get started if I was starting tomorrow?
Okay.
Is there like a bullet list that you kind of generically tell people? And
I don't.
So kind of what is...
It's weird. I don't really have, because it's different for everybody. And
for
I always think if someone comes to me and says like, people say I have a good voice and I should do voiceover. Like, what do I do? I'm like, okay, first thing, what kind of voiceover?
Right.
Because every area is so different. Like I got into audiobooks, but then to get into commercial, it's so different. I had to like retrain and there's like a whole different way of speaking and even audio dramas and video games. I had a coaching with Dave Fennoy last week for an audition and he was like, Stephanie, you are enunciating way too much.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, in audiobooks, it's all about being, you know, like pickups for, it was muddled.
Yeah.
But in video games, you're just talking and you're like regular, you know, it's really more dialogue. So I think that audio dramas are also really good at helping you focus on just the dialogue, right? So for video games, I think it's a great kind of, if you've done commercial or haven't done a lot of video games and you want to kind of move in that direction, I think audio dramas are a great way to kind of start to get in that way because you're just acting and you have dialogue.
It's Broadway.
Right? Yeah.
It's Broadway, yeah.
So I would say figure out what kind
what
you want to do.
Yeah,
what direction you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then look to see what, I mean, there's a lot of content out there. YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, also telling you where to go, what to do, classes to take and workshops to do and things like that. And mm-hmm. I would try to find other people who were doing it. And so, because a lot of people have gone through things and taken classes that are just not worth it, and they'll tell you, and they can help to guide you. I think having a good core or creating a group of peers, people who want to do the same thing as you, or who are also starting out or a little bit further along the line, mm-hmm. who can help you, guide you and stuff. I think that's a huge help. I mean, my group chat that we talk about, Delulah, whatever. I mean, those people saved my life. They, I mean, because you get in spirals too. Mm-hmm. Like you get in spirals of like, oh my God, I'm horrible. Nobody likes me. Shit, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, stop it. You just literally won an award. And I'm like, did I? Was that just yesterday? Oh my God. What am I? It's like so many ups and downs sometimes. And mm-hmm. you know, you get a great review or someone thinks, you know, your voice is, I don't know, like nails on chalkboard or whatever.
Yeah.
I haven't had that one, thank God. But like an example, you know, like you're not someone's cup of tea, but you can't please everybody.
Right.
Not everybody's going
to
love you.
Especially when it comes to something like YouTube, which is like the freedom of speech is too crazy. Yeah. Or they'll just like you like that compliment that you gave to that person with the cosplaying. And it was like, yeah, who cares about your opinion? It was like, of course you would say that with words, but you would never say that in the on the face.
Right.
And people become more brave that way.
Yeah.
And it's hard because that's another thing you have to teach people too, is that bullyism, you know, mm-hmm. and that comes with the territory.
It's just not necessary.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah. I do hate to recommend Reddit, but Reddit's also a very good place to find classes you want to take for acting and voiceover because people will be so honest there if somebody's acting class or their voiceover class was awful.
Oh, I love that.
So I tend to go to Reddit a lot if I'm looking, like before I pay for a class. Because you don't want to be giving somebody your money and your time to find out that you really hated the class.
Oh, yeah,
so I'll look it up on Reddit and I'll see what other people have to say before I put my money behind something, because you never know.
It's like Yelp.
That's great.
Yeah. Even though Reddit is like the cesspool of people that hate everything, but you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I've learned is doing that before I take like an actual in-person acting class. But yeah, we actually have some fans that have some particular questions to ask you, if you don't mind sticking around for some Patreon.
Absolutely, no, sure.
Amazing. Also, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
So on TikTok, I am Stephanie. Okay, I'll just say it how it sounds and not how not how it's spelled and not how it sounds. So Stephanie Nemeth Parker. It's actually a Hungarian name, so it's pronounced name it. But it's Stephanie Nemeth Parker on TikTok and S. Nemeth Parker on Instagram. I think that's the only place I am. I think I'm on YouTube, but I don't really post there. I'm so bad about social media. I'm really bad.
It's tough. When you're doing as much stuff as you are,
I'd love to do so much more stuff. Like, I would love, because especially like in my character voices that I do, like I got like a lot of traction on La Haba the other day when I did her voice.
Yeah.
But you know, and Sigail and things like that, like, you know, do like Sigail reading like a rom-com.
Yes! Like, or reading like an erotic passage.
Yeah.
Yes.
She'd be rolling her eyes like the entire time, you know?
Oh my God, like Gilfred Gobbery when he did
Iago.
Yeah, it's when he did Iago reading Fifty Shades of Grey.
No, I'm
from years ago. Yeah.
I have to go see.
He's like, and he stuck his cock in my, like, it's so ridiculous. I don't think that was actually the passage, but it was amazing.
Yeah.
If you're bored or if you need a laugh.
I will 100%.
And Cosmo, where can everybody find you on social media?
On YouTube, the Cosmo Network, the Cosmo Show, and then Cosmo 666, my personal one, and then the Cosmo Show on TikTok and Instagram. So bada bing, bada boom.
Join us all in our separate canoes on social media. And don't forget to check me out, Dare Taylor Official, with the blue check mark. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram for Delulah Canoe Pod. Like, we're so close to having the same amount of subscribers and the same amount of followers, which is amazing. But, like, don't forget, because we post updates on the episodes on Instagram. So go follow us there. And don't forget to stay Delulah, because it's the Salulu! Bye, everybody! Yay!